Hawaii School Superintendent Christina Kishimoto has been on the job for about 2 years. She's now focused on the next 10 years, preparing to roll out a promise plan to improve teaching and learning. She's asking for public feedback.
So I am very excited. We have a 2030 Hawaii Promise Plan, and it's basically our next 10-year strategic plan. And it focuses on the work that we're going to be doing from 2020 to 2030 with a hyper-focus on 5 promises to students. I can go through those promises, but the idea is to use student-centered promise statements rather than using aspirational goal statements to drive a strategic plan.
Okay, and now is this approach something that you came across somewhere else?
Well, as I'm looking at our strategic plan and the work that we've been doing and the areas of progress and the areas that need improvement, we often talk about being very student-centered and, you know, what do students need to be successful. And so as I've continued to work with community, I thought it would really resonate with community if we set those goals in terms of promises that are specific to our promise to students. If we deliver on those promises to students, then we'll organize and design our operations around what it takes to deliver on those promises to students.
So how are we reaching out to our school community?
So we just released a set of documents online that allow, it's basically a toolkit that allows anyone in the community to get onto that toolkit, learn about the promise statements, and then interact and provide feedback on those promise statements. And then around the end of the summer, we'll be collecting and looking at all of that feedback and then creating our first draft of our 2030 promise plan. That draft will then be taken out to community again for response and reaction.
And have the principals gone to the parent-teacher groups to get some of that initial input?
The school principals and the complex area superintendents will be meeting this summer, and they will be holding a variety of retreats to go over the promise plan, the promise plan statements, to give us feedback, and then the principals will take the first draft of the plan and go out to their communities during the fall.
I see. Okay. And so what are these promises?
So we've designed 5 student-targeted statements around 5 areas of promise. It starts first with a promise around Hawaii, delivering our educational opportunities based on really honoring place and honoring what the student brings to place. So Hawaii is the first promise. The second promise is equity, which focuses on providing every student equitable access to quality programming and quality educational learning. The third promise is focused on school design, having a diverse portfolio of highly engaging school design models throughout our state. The fourth promise is around innovation and ensuring that we remain on the cutting edge what we're offering in the classroom as connected to career pathways and ensuring that students are prepared to be leaders here in Hawaii and globally. And our fifth promise is around empowerment. In order to deliver these kind of promises, we need students, teachers, and principals to be empowered at the school level to design and to stay at the cutting edge in terms of innovation. And so empowerment is absolutely critical to sustaining this kind of a design.
And then how do we interface these promises with our budget, with our funding, and our facilities?
Yeah, it's a great question. What we're transitioning to is starting to look at, through our committee on weights, to look at the per pupil allocation at the school level and what's driving the per pupil allocations that we make on an annual basis to schools to be able to support the work that they're doing to deliver on the promises, and also to look at outside of the per pupil allocation, how are we structuring our budget at the state level so that the state work is hyper-focused on how do we support schools in their work. What's the work that we have to do around accountability, since we're both a state education agency and a local education Transportation Agency for federal purposes. And so we have a high level of accountability, but also making sure that we're not doing programming at the state level, but that we're transitioning that empowerment to the school level, and that we're doing supports instead, high-level support and capacity building.
You know, we recognize that you do have a difficult job as superintendent of a statewide system, you know, the only one in the country. And, you know, we have had our challenges. We've got the teacher shortage. We've got the issue hanging overhead with Title IX and gender equity and facilities.
So we do have a lot of challenges, but I will say that I'm excited that over the past 2 years, we have pivoted to being very planful in creating a much more sophisticated and modernized operational system in order to get that work done. So we have the delivery now of our Future Schools Now approach, and that has created a system in which we can track and publicly share the capital improvement projects that and the repair maintenance projects we have. So now we use that plan. We went to the legislature to ask for capital improvement funds and repair maintenance funds, and the legislature turned around and gave us money attached back to the priorities in that system. So we are leading with being much more planful and having these modernized systems. I think that makes a huge difference in saying, how do we become a sophisticated, state-of-the-art organization at the same time that we're meeting these demands for high-quality schools, that there's a business side to running a district that's a combined state education agency and a local education agency. And I think those are things that we've been talking about, modernizing our financial management system. That's a huge lift, but we are already doing an RFP for that so that we can have a modern system, again, to align our strategies with how we do budgeting. We'll also modernize our human resource work to much more of a talent management approach to focus on what are the multiple pathways to bring in talented teachers and to have a benefits package and a kind of community where we retain them and they want to stay in Hawaii and they find lots of success here with the public school system.
I know you folks just rolled out that program to help teachers with housing.
Yes. So we didn't roll it out. That's the businesses and the foundations locally got together, and what we are doing is really talking about the landed program as one of multiple approaches that we need in terms of public-private partnership to ensure that teachers feel that they can raise a family here, they can stay here. A lot of our local teachers are just finding themselves outpriced and not able to really leverage their salary. So we have both a salary issue, a competitive salary issue that we have to address, and an access to housing for families to be able to choose to stay here in Hawaii. And so we've got to address that. The landed program provided kind of this convening of business partners and foundations to help support something that we've said we need help with.
Right, right. It's not a panacea, but it's something that could help teachers.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping that this actually, because it came from business and industry and foundations working together with this partner out of California, that will generate new ways of thinking about how do we provide an opportunity for teachers to be able to feel that they can stabilize here, that they can become part of, that they can stay as part of the community, that they have lots of great options here, and that this is a matter of having to leave Hawaii because they don't have multiple options and pathways here.
You know, you mentioned the budget and the funding. The session has just ended. Any disappointments or anything you're particularly happy about?
Well, I would say that there are lots of great things that came out in terms of, you know, our operational budget is mostly whole. There are a few things that were not funded, but most things were funded, and we did get some new funding for things like the mandated nursing services that we provide to our special ed students, and we did receive some funding for workers' comp, which is also mandated by law, and we haven't been funded for that in the past. So we had some added areas. We also got CIP dollars that really are going to support this modernization of our schools and keeping up with these projects. So we have great facilities for learning. The disappointing side, you know, and I don't know, it's disappointing as much as we have to keep having the conversation, is housing. You know, how do we address that? There were several bills that came up, and none of them passed on, and I think we need to come back to that. We also are pushing really hard for a statewide conversation around K funding. We have 26 classes in the entire state that are publicly funded, and that really doesn't address many of our students who are amongst our high poverty, high need students, or in isolated communities that have absolutely no pre-K options. And so pushing on that agenda, I think it's important to keep having that conversation as a statewide priority.
And the preschool component, the governor was very hopeful at the beginning of the session about what could come out for those younger children.
I was thrilled to have him lead with that in his State of the State and talk about this as an equity issue. We need to provide equitable access. We have some great pre-K's throughout the state. Many of them are funded through private entities, and so those are fantastic. And if we can grow those as well, that's great. At the same time, we have lots of families who need access to pre-K and don't have the means. And so we can't continue to say that because you don't have the financial means, you don't get the early readiness. We did get funding for 10 additional classes. We were hoping for a minimum of 22. There was a transition of 18 classrooms that are in our charter schools that where the federal fund for those classes ended. And so the state did pick up and provide the funding for those 18 classes. So we are happy that they continue that. Charter schools are part of our public school offerings. So we have those 18 classes plus 10 classes for our Department of Ed. So we have some progress this year. That's great. And, you know, our goal is to keep building on that.
Right. It's a start.
Yes, it's a start.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. And we hope that you will join us for an entire show and a call-in later on this summer.
That sounds great. That'll be fun.
That was Hawaii's Superintendent of Public Schools, Christina Kishimoto. She'll be speaking about the DOE's 10-year strategic plan tomorrow before the He'e Coalition, which stands for the Hui in Excellence in Education. The group was launched almost a decade ago to position public schools as a priority. We'll have links to the Promise Plan on our website at hawaiipublicradio.org.